More businesses will share payroll data to try to eliminate the gender wage gap in Boston. Mayor Marty Walsh says there are now more than 100 city businesses that have signed on to what he says is a first-of-its-kind data-driven effort.
We know we're the number one city in America of income inequality, and we want to be number one in a lot of places, but we don't want to be number one in that space because our city is going to become a city that's divided.
The wage data will be broken down by sex, race, job category, and length of experience. Most data now suggests that women in Massachusetts make, on average, 82 cents for every dollar a man makes. In Boston, it's 83 cents per dollar for white women and lower for women of color. On the line with us is Megan Costello. She's executive director of the Mayor's Office of Women's Advancement. Megan, thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Listeners, we want to hear from you as well. Why is closing the gender wage gap difficult? Is there a bias against women in the workplace? Women, is it more difficult for you to negotiate with your employer as opposed to your male colleagues? You can call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also find us on Facebook and on Twitter at Radio Boston. So, Megan, can you just briefly tell us about this initiative and these 100 businesses? What kind of data are you looking for?
Sure. Well, the wage gap is very complex. So, first and foremost, it's important to recognize that we have to take a multi-pronged approach when closing the wage gap and when talking about closing the wage gap. And it's really important that business be at that table. The mayor is supporting the equal pay legislation along with Jim Rooney and several in the business community. But we have to understand that legislation is not the only answer here. And we have to actually impact the culture. And so what we're asking businesses to sign on to today is what's called the 100% Talent Compact. And it's asking employers to take a look at their data to understand where their gaps are. And then we work with them to understand what interventions they should apply depending on where their gaps are. So we hear, you know, these general numbers. We hear 83 cents here in Boston, 82 cents here in Massachusetts, but it's very specific by industry and it's very specific by company. And so it's really important to dig in on your own data because we all have this problem, including the city of Boston. And so we're all working together to solve this problem.
Describe for me what you think, at least from what you've heard at this point, how bad the problem is.
You know, I think it really varies. But the reality is there is still a wage gap. And the mayor says all the time, you know, it's 2016. It's time we stop talking about this. It's time we start doing something about it. And so that's exactly what we've done today with these businesses. And it's exactly what we'll do over the coming months with recruiting more businesses and also continuing the workshops that we have.
By agreeing to become part of this compact and anonymously supplying payroll data to the city, will these companies also be publicly identified? For example, if I am company X and I realize that I have this wage gap in my company and I realize that women are paid maybe on average 20% less, does that become public as well?
So first and foremost, we need to protect the identity and the privacy of these companies. You know, our goal here is to not out anybody in terms of where their wage gap is. Our goal is to close the wage gap. And so we're going to work with companies. That's one of the reasons why we've been so intentional about recruiting more companies, because we want a diverse representation of the business community here in Boston. We're working with Boston University, the Hariri Institute, to anonymize this data, to create an aggregate, and to create a baseline where we can understand currently the reality of where we are, and then we can understand, you know, where the growth is from that over the next several years.
Now, I understand you have been holding negotiating classes for women.
Yeah. So as I said, you know, the wage gap is complex. It exists for a variety of reasons. And one of the things that we know is that women don't ask as much as men. And so we decided to partner with the Association, American Association of University Women down in Washington, D.C., who has a fantastic curriculum for negotiating workshops. We've partnered with them in a five-year contract to train over 85,000 women over the next 5 years. And the goal here is to not say this is solely up to women and it's all on women to, you know, ask for what they're worth, but it's to give them some really concrete skills and tools that they can use when they're at that negotiation table. And one of the biggest takeaways that we talk to women about is practicing negotiations in your everyday life. I often say, you know, negotiate free breakfast when you go to a hotel, or negotiate, you know, a different meeting start, because the more we do this, the more we ask for what we're worth, the more we strategize around timing, the more we can do the research, you know, the stronger those conversations are going to be and the more likely we are to get what we are worth.
So are you almost saying that, though, it is an innate thing that women don't know how to negotiate? And so if they start practicing in simple ways, they may be able to do this in other ways that are more complicated.
Yeah, women are really fantastic advocates for everybody but themselves often. And I think that this has a lot to do, you know, I'm not a sociology professor here, but I think this has a lot to do with social norms and society expectations on gender roles. And so, you know, that's a reality. That's a reality in the workplace of unconscious bias. It's a reality of how we think of ourselves. And so it's important, you know, these workshops really allow women to just lay out the facts and the skill sets of who they are as a worker, what skills they bring to the table, and then a strategy of how you get what you want. And I often think one of the biggest things about these workshops that really help women think about this from an individual perspective is think of a negotiation as a conversation. You know, it's not this or that be all end all. You know, as long as you're continuing the conversation and you're able to ask for what you're worth, you know, that's the important takeaway.
All right. And just briefly, early on in this initiative, Mayor Walsh gave raises to women who were in his cabinet. But then the Boston Globe reported last year that even with those raises, the women in his cabinet earned about $27,000 less than men on average. So is that what you were referring to when you said we even have problems in the city of Boston?
I think one thing that the mayor acknowledges all the time is that everybody has this problem. And this is what he has chosen to do. You know, he says to me all the time, listen, we can either do nothing about this and hope that the wage gap goes away over time, or we can be intentional about our actions. And that's exactly what we're doing. We're looking at our own data. And I know it's something that the mayor is committed to. And I know that he's excited about the other businesses in the city of Boston that are doing the exact same thing.
All right. Megan Costello, Executive Director of the Mayor's Office of Women's Advancement. Megan, thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me, Deborah. I appreciate it.
I also want to bring another voice into our conversation here. In the studio with me is Katie Donovan. She's a salary and career negotiation consultant who helps women get better at negotiating. Welcome, Katie.
Well, thank you for having me.
Now, we just heard from Megan, who talked about some of the ways that she helps women in particular negotiate. And she said, first off, help women practice by just negotiating for what they want in their everyday lives and really looking at negotiating as conversation. Are those also tips that you would give women as well?
The conversation part, absolutely. Women excel in the type of negotiation called collaborative, which is very conversational, talking about the other person's needs and wants and trying to find that win-win for both people. And practice, I always tell everyone, practice while you're driving, practice while you're in the bathroom, whenever, because it's what's in your voice, that catch in your voice. If they hear it, they know they're going to win. So if you get comfortable
saying... Show no weakness.
If you're comfortable with the words, it's going to be so much different. But you're right, no weakness. Sad to say.
But really, is that really what's driving this gender?
No.
Okay.
There's a million other things in play. And Megan referred to them. Really, you need all three players or stakeholders in the gender pay gap involved. You need the employer. You need the employee. So negotiating as the employee. But you also need policymakers, because there's some players who never will be as right as others or need guidelines.
Okay. I want to go to some callers because they want to weigh in on this as well. And I want to hear from a man about this. Bill is calling from Lowell. Bill, you're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for calling. What would you like to talk with us about today? We're talking about the gender wage gap.
So I've been following this for many years, and actually, I don't know the name, but there's a feminist. You can Google it for yourself, and she disagrees with the level, the disparity, and, you know, ultimately, it's not that much if you account for a lot of different choices that women make. And I'll give you an example. In my current profession, a woman decided to get into the networking section of my company, and she chose to come in at a very, like, entry-level position. I personally feel she's incredibly smart and should have gone for the second-level position, but she didn't want the pressure of the second-level position.
Okay.
So she's going to take less money, but she's going to have less pressure.
All right. I understand. Well, Bill, thanks for calling. Katie, let's talk about that. When we talk about this wage gap, how much is it, say, choices that some women are making? Maybe choices because, as Bill said, a woman maybe doesn't want the pressure. Maybe she is doing much of the child care at home or taking care of the house. And so she is saying, yeah, I am going to take a lesser position and less pay because I have other things going on in my life.
Well, there's a few things in that sense.
And how do we measure that, right?
Okay. Well, there's research showing that men will apply to jobs when they're 60% of a fit, and we women wait till we're about 100% of a fit. So the first thing is just apply. Let them tell you you're terrible. Don't decide it on your own. And that's a hard hurdle to jump over because statistically, women tend to be more rules followers. Sorry. As for... Is it their choice, and is that the reason for the pay gap? No, because let's pick nurses. Traditionally, women, men are making more when they're nurses than women now. So same choice. They're not getting paid the same. An article from the New York Times just last week, as women get involved more and more in male-dominated industries or jobs, the pay becomes lower. So us just showing up kills the price of the job. So we can get more educated the bigger the gap. We can go higher up into professions, become CEOs, bigger percentage gap. Every industry has gaps. There's no place for us to get out of this.
So is this what folks mean when they say unconscious bias here is going on, that there's really... Okay, so that's what you're talking about, is that women are still somehow perceived as not as deserving and therefore not earning the same salaries as men doing the same jobs.
But absolutely.
Can you measure that with this data that we're talking about in the Mayor's Initiative today? Can you make sure that those jobs are exactly comparable and that we're really measuring apples with apples?
Well, I don't have insight into the MIA's data, but I've seen enough other data out there to know that you can get as close to apples as apples. AAUW, which Megan mentioned, the American Association of University Women, they do amazing research. And their research shows year one after college, there is 6% that we just don't know why that gap exists. And it's attributed to bias because we can't find any other reason for it.
All right, I want to go to the phone some more. Karen is calling from West Roxbury. Karen, you're on the air.
Hi there. Thanks so much. This is an incredibly important topic, and I'm so glad that Boston is taking the lead. I wanted to just add that in addition to the gender pay gap, which is very, very real, and I have utilized the AUP site and found their negotiating tips extremely helpful, that in addition to educating women to be better negotiators, that I believe we need to look at the larger American social construction of gender when we talk about the wage gap, and also think about encouraging, supporting, educating men to better value and step up to the parenting plate. And that will also contribute to helping women lean in at the board table. So it's a combination, and it's a dynamic relationship involving both of the sexes. And in order to truly achieve equality, I think that everyone needs to be involved.
Okay, Karen, thanks for your call. Katie Donovan, do we not just have to make sure that companies are paying? Do we also have to make sure that there's a fairer split of household responsibilities as well?
Well, if your spouse says...
And are you ready to take that on too, Katie?
No, I'm not ready to take that on. I'm not married. I don't have kids, so I know nothing about it. But I do cringe when I hear father say he's babysitting his children. So that, to me, gives a lot of insight of what may be going on. As for the companies... They can close the gap like Salesforce just did by paying $3 million in raises to their women and giving them promotions. But if you don't change the process that got you there, you're going to be paying another $3 million in raises in another year or two. You're going to get back there. So things like not asking salary history, creating blind resume or candidate review, because there's been research over and over and over again. Same credentials, put a guy's name on it or put a gal's name on it, it's viewed as less. And if you looked at less qualified, you're going to get paid less, even though the exact same credentials. That, to me, is the unconscious bias we have to address.
All right. Well, we're out of time. I'm sure we will talk about this again as this initiative goes forward. Katie, I want to thank you very much for being with us. Katie Donovan's a salary and career negotiation consultant. Thank you. Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Deborah Becker, and this is Radio Boston.